Hi there, this is Laurie Hughes of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. So, in today's audio, I want to do another in the marketing series, and this one specifically to talk about blogging and using blogging to grow and strengthen your business. So, basically, the things we need to look at, and rather, you know, why you would choose blogging as a marketing effort. So one, it does not contravene any advertising rules. To create blogs, to put information out there is a form of marketing. And it is not, you don't have to adhere to, you know, these are the things that you need to put in an advertisement or not put in an advertisement. You are basically going to be providing information and occasionally promoting your services, which is all fair. I recently had an email correspondence with a physio PT down in the States, and, you know, she was saying, oh, it's so, you know, upsetting because I can't advertise according to my state PT laws. I can't advertise. And it's like, oh. And that's really what sparked this, is because you just have to think outside the box. Really, putting an ad in a newspaper is one of the most useless things you could do anyway. So that's fabulous that, you know, your state laws aren't going to allow you to do that, because it's crap advertising anyways. So this is a better strategy, or one of, anyways, several strategies, but this is a good strategy. It's better than an ad because it's going to be engaging. And when it's done regularly, you can build an audience not just of your current clients, but who they pass it on to, who they share, and the people who come across your blog and see it. Okay. And with that in mind, it's another rationale, or basically reminder, that within your blogs, be sure to show some of your personality, because that's what you're building, is that relationship. Okay. And your blog can then be leveraged and promoted in various different ways to attract people to you, to your service, and basically to your blog, to your website. And it becomes really quite cyclical, and builds, let's say from a website perspective, builds traffic to your website. That's what Google likes in regards to deciding your ranking. So if somebody types in rehabilitation plus dog plus Kansas City, then you have a better chance of showing up if there has been more traffic to your website, because Google decides then this is a website that lots of people go to and provides good content and people keep going back there. So Google ranks your website higher than if it was just a static website that nothing happens on it. Okay, so that was our why. Now, if we're looking at blogging, let's just put out there as a simple, comes in wherever. This is now as good a time as any to bring it up, but how often do you want to blog? And ideally, you want to work at it weekly. So that's, you know, that's what I'm doing with fourleg.com, but I need to get to that weekly status for my own clinic, the Canine Fitness Center. But weekly is really what they say is best. It's not so much that it jams people's inbox, or that they, you know, are being overloaded, or that they forget to check in. Once a month isn't enough. I would say if you can't do weekly, then try every 2 weeks. But really, you gotta be looking to try and get your content out that often. Okay, now content. So basically, looking at how you're going to look at what kind of content you provide. So, you want a mix of entertainment, educational pieces, and promotional pieces. So entertainment meaning just something interesting, something fun, whether that is
Funny stories, success stories, new things at the clinic, announcements, funny things that you find in a newspaper or something like that. Just an entertaining, fun, lighthearted thing. Okay? Educational pieces could be things where you are summarizing other people's articles and blogs. Okay, there's nothing saying you have to come up with it from scratch. You can certainly say, you know, that you were at a conference and one of the speakers, give credit to the speaker, one of the speakers, so-and-so, had, from wherever, had given a talk about such-and-such, and these were the really key points that you thought were important from that and to share. And then, now, if that's a talk, it works for that. If you are looking at somebody else's article or a blog, what you could do then is summarize their article or summarize their blog, give credit to that other person, but you're providing the summary within your blog. Provide a link that if they want to read the entire story or they want to read the entire blog, you know, click here to read the blog for yourself. But really, most people are just going to stick with your summary. And then even nicer if you can, at the end, kind of say, well, you know, here's how I feel about this, or here's how we do things at our clinic in regards to this. But that's a nice way to find content, okay? Articles or other people's blogs, too. Now, another bits of content could be summaries of research. So you could look and find what is out there for research, new research that's come about. And just basically summarize, you know, a recent paper. If you look at some of the magazines, sporting magazines and that, they don't ever quote it like, you know, Gregory et al. 1985 Spine Journal revealed blah, blah, blah. They quote it as a group of researchers in California reported that. And so that's all you have to say. If you want to cite the original thing, you certainly can, but at the bottom or something like that. But just summary of research would be good, okay? Then there are always, you know, people like getting tips in regards to things that they can do at home, things they can do with their dog. So if you have some suggestions for, let's say, stretching, for warming up, cooling down, even if it's things like, you know, how to trim or be sure to trim the hair out of, you know, your dog's pads, you know, and between the toes, and here's how you're going to do it, and here's why, especially if you live, like I do, somewhere that's frozen over right now, you know, to prevent ice balls between the toes, yada, yada, yada. So it can be things that they can do at home, things they could do with their dog. Ideally, if we're promoting this from a rehab perspective, the closer we can stick along the lines of physical health, the better. That's just my thoughts. I don't tend to go in tangents on liver disease or anything like that. I kind of stick to musculoskeletal or neuromusculoskeletal or kind of general physical health in anything I would try to promote. Okay. Now, where are you going to find this content? So I would say one is search out other blogs and really just go onto Google and do a search. I think you can type in, you might even be able to type in blog plus cruciate, blog plus rehabilitation, but that might not find anything. You might have to be more specific. Blog plus hip dysplasia, blog plus dog health, just to try and find other blogs out there. My suggestions then would be, then what you want to do with that is then start following those blogs. So sign up to get the alerts so that you can have that coming right into your inbox. Or if they don't have that sort of a thing, put a mental note or a piece of paper at your desk that just reminds you to check on these blogs on a periodic basis. Okay, so some places to look. So one, use the four-leg blogs. Use whatever you find. Use articles in there. I have no problems. As long as you cite me as the source of it, that's fine. And I know I'm trying to repurpose my own blogs on my on four-leg for my canine fitness center stuff. So feel free to do the same thing. Okay. Another good one is Mercola, Dr. Mercola Healthy Pets. And you can get those blogs coming into your inbox. I think they come real frequently. I think they're almost every day or every second day. But you can get some worthwhile tips in through there. Dr. Karen Becker does the veterinary side of it. The FitPaws videos are great things that you could share, and you can share a link on your blog. Say, you know, with exercise is important for the canine athlete, and this is a fabulous video. We thought that those of you who are active with their dogs would like to see. And then you put a link that goes to the YouTube site. So that could be useful. Look at different magazines. One, because you might be able to find articles that you could, I want to say synopsize. I don't know if that's real world. Anyways, that you could review. So Clean Run, Whole Dog Journal, Dogs Naturally. Those could be ones that you might find some things in. I know there was, I think Cornell University had a little dog journal that used to come out. There's a whole pile out there. So it's just a matter of finding them. Start doing a Google search to find those. I would also then try and find things that that are kind of interesting. So if you want to find stuff that's interesting and quirky, I just found an article. I went on to Reuters News, R-E-U-T-E-R-S, and actually, what did I do a Google search on? I put unusual news or odd news or something along the lines of news, but that something to do with odd or strange or unusual. Anyway, so Reuters News came up in their life section under a subsection called Oddly Enough. And what was funny is I just found one that, you know, that dog who has been winning, he's won the ugliest dog for the last few years, and he's apparently a Chihuahua Chinese Crested Cross. Anyways, he just died at the age of 8, so very sad. But I posted that on the Canine Fitness Center Facebook page just as something then that is news that comes across. So you might be able to do things where you can tap into odd or unusual things. Huffington Post is another one that will often have dog-related articles that are interesting. And presuming that you have a Facebook site, sign up to all sorts of Facebook companies. So sign up with, you know, just do a search for dogs and canine and whatever, pick agility, different things then that you can then check in on them, check your news feed on a semi-regular basis and see if there's anything interesting coming up on those feeds that just gives you ideas of content for your own blog. Okay. And then beyond that, even just Google search, you know, so topics that would be of common interest then for any dog person. So, you know, poisonous plants, geriatric management, puppy management, advances in cancer management, things then that you figure, okay, well, these could affect any kind of dog. So just start making a list of different things that would be very common and generic that might give you some ideas for finding your own content. Okay, so now you want to try and figure out, how do you get people to your blog? Okay, because it's great to have a blog, but if nobody reads it, then it just sits there. So you have to have a strategy for getting people to your blog. So firstly, ideal is to have your blog on your website, i.e. built in, versus going to one of the blog hosting sites. Okay, so this will take a web designer to integrate it right into your website, and just have a place where you're able to upload a blog. So that would be useful. Then, let's say you upload your blog. Okay, if you upload your blog, then, secondly, or let's say day one. Let's go with this. Day one, you put it up onto your website. So you've got your blog on your website. Now, if you are doing your own website administration changes and all the rest, what you can do is add keywords that Google uses to search. So if you're doing a one on hip dysplasia, you can do keywords of canine, hip dysplasia, arthritis, juvenile disease. Anyways, any of those sorts of things, then that your keywords, put it in there as your search. Okay, so day one you did that. Day two, you can announce it on your mailing list, your email list. So presuming you have one of those, and if you don't, you should think about how you do that. And that's an email capture, so the same as what we did when we did your when you subscribe to fourleg.com, if you subscribe to the free stuff, you put your name and email, and then it basically was giving me permission for me to email you. So have something like that on your website would be ideal. So let's say you have a list of emails, okay? You can then, and even if you just have your emails from your software or that you've collected, you can put that into a database and export it to one of your email platforms. So I use AWeber, Constant Contact is another common one, MailChimp is another one that people like to use as well. So it's just a matter of looking at one of those, go through their training programs of how to use it and how you should be doing those things. And anyways, the whole point is day two now, you're going to announce it to your list. So you're going to send out an e-blast saying, oh, just an update, we've put up a new blog post, check it out, and then you direct them to your blog. So they can click, they go to your blog. You're serving two purposes there. One, you're getting them to read it. Two, you've interacted with them by email, so they're thinking about you. Three, Google is now registering that more people are going to your website, so they're going to start ranking your website higher. Okay, now let's say day two as well, or day three, you could post on Facebook or Twitter, whatever you have, and say, hey everyone, just wanted to let you know the new blog post is up. Check it out at... and you put in your link in there. Now, let's say day four, so a couple days later, you may want to remind them on your social media platform. So again, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, and say, I just want to make sure that you guys, if you didn't see the post before, that our new blog is up, you know, it's on the topic of such and such, go check it out. Okay? Now, that kind of covers a sequence of how you want to do things. What you also want to do within your blog or as a main header is to ask people, don't forget to ask people to share and or like and ask them to comment or ask questions, because the more interaction you can get, the better. And the more, from a Facebook standpoint, the more they share that, then again, the higher your Facebook page ranks, the more likely that your Facebook posts will show up, the more likely then that people will see the blog, click through, go to your blog, go to your website, and it becomes very cyclical, where you're kind of feeding this machine, generating a whole series of, they call it customer touch, okay? So an interaction with your customer. And again, this is all perfectly legitimate, perfectly legal, and is way better than any ad in a newspaper or magazine could do for you. Okay, and then lastly, the only thing I want to bring up is to ask your staff members to contribute ideas or articles, links, things then that either you can build a blog from, or you might have a few people that, you know, you could have them write a blog for you as well. Okay, and then too, if your staff is, I suppose, if they like your regular Facebook page or they like your blog page or whatever, get them to share the finished posts as well, because that's just going to go further and wider. Presumably your staff is, you know, groups of dog lovers, animal lovers. Presumably they have friends who are too. So it's not like you're asking them to share your network marketing scam. You are just asking that, you know, hey, you know, if it's a blog post you think any of your friends, family would like, you know, share it, please. And that way it just gets the message out even further. And once a couple people start sharing, more people start sharing. And again, it just draws the attention to your blog that much more. Okay, so that's what I got for you to think about in regards to blogging and using blogging to grow and strengthen your business. And I hope that helps you. So until next time, cheers.